Now, chain letters have been with us. When was the last time you saw a chain letter? I mean, these days you can find those chain letters, you know, broadcast digitally. But in the bad old days, or good old days, a chain letter used to arrive, and it was actually a chain letter that you had to deal with, right? And our topic today centers around not just chain letters and the one I'm going to be telling you about, but also how our young people, children, learners, whatever you want to call them, access this information and the platforms through which some of these letters and other content is disseminated. So today, as I said, chatting about a particular chain letter. Chain letters have been on us for a long time, but they were quite harmless. Because while they described, you know, the consequences of breaking the chain, they were certainly not as disturbing as one which has recently been shared by children. Most, you know, children of school-going age are probably in school right now and won't be able to hear this. But I'm going to read this chain letter. I mean, this is a letter which has been shared to children as young as 7 on chat platforms designed to be used among classmates for school purposes. I'll read it very quickly with my dodgy eyes. Here we go. Hi, my name is Carmen Winstead. I'm 17 years old. I'm very similar to you. Did I mention to you that I am dead? A few years ago, a group of girls pushed me down a sewer hole to try and embarrass me. When I didn't come back up, the police came. The girl said that I had fallen, and everyone believed them. The police found my body in the sewer. I had broken my neck, and my face was torn off. Send this message to 15 people after you read the whole message, if you value your life. A boy called David received this message. He just laughed and deleted it. When he was in the shower, he heard laughing, my laughter. He got really scared, rushed to his phone to repost the message, but it was too late. The next morning, his mum entered his bedroom, and all she found was a message written in his blood saying, you will never have him back. No one has found his body yet, because he is with me. A girl called Charlotte received this message, and she immediately sent it to 25 people, 10 more than required. I still watch over every second of her life to make sure that she is safe and to keep her and everyone close to her out of danger. Send this to 15 people in the next 5 minutes if you don't want your fate to be the same as David's. Your time starts now. The story is true. You can research it on Google. Beware, I will come if you don't send it to 15 contacts, and I may be watching you every second. And that's the letter that was sent out. That's scary, man. And even as an adult, you read that and you get the chiller. So Dean McCoubrey is the founder of My Social Life, and he's just written up a 6-point guideline to help parents when it comes to the devices that they use. More and more schools are also getting their learners to use devices. Dean, good having you on the show, sir.
Thanks, Kino. Always nice to chat to you.
So when you read that, what went through your mind?
You know what I thought? It reminded me of urban legends that I remember from my school time. It's just that the difference is the virality of messaging and sharing and email and social and so on. But I remember funny ghost stories that used to be told, very similar, that, as you said, would give you the thrills. So that's what I thought. It immediately went back to the urban legends that I had as a kid, and I remember being pretty scared then. The problem is that the kids are getting these now into their inbox, and these are being shared and people are talking about them, which can make them feel really true.
And it's actually affecting them. For me, the big challenge, though, is they're supposed to be using a platform meant for learners to engage and have those conversations, pertinent conversations, when it comes to the schoolwork that they've got to do. But somehow this letter finds its way onto this platform. Where does one even start with having to deal with that particular issue in particular.
Exactly. So access to devices, if you think about it, there are two key things that are happening over this last month. Number one is that a lot of children received electronic devices. Those could be tablets, gaming consoles, or phones. But even if they didn't, for those that are going into certain grades, they are now being asked to access certain type of technology so that they can access the internet for schoolwork. Mm. The problem is on each one of these devices comes a whole load of apps, which essentially are connection points. And inside those connection points are ways in which children need to lock down their privacy and also in which individuals from the outside world can access them or send them messages, videos, photos, whatever it may be. And this is the problem, is that these doorways that we give our children, or the schools give our children, are not yet locked down because often the schools haven't attended to it, or even the parents don't know enough about it. So we're finding ourselves in a real quandary. And the end result is that children can find themselves feeling extremely anxious. And when you're anxious, sometimes we're finding in our school program, when we go in and teach these 8 modules in schools, about 3 to 4 out of 10, that's not an exaggeration, say that they don't tell their parents about what they've experienced yep. online because they don't want their device taken away.
And they also don't want to have their parents shouting down on them. And, you know, I know many kids who hide things away from their parents because their parents can be tyrants sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
But surely if you in an institution like a school, there should be rules, regulations. There should be a person that is an administrator that is able to grant access. And with the technology these days, one could pick up these things.
Absolutely. What needs to happen, really simply, is that if there's access to technology to an individual or to a group of individuals, say a class or a grade, one needs to have a policy. Now, the problem with policies is they're black and white text. Nobody's updated mm-hmm. them. They're pretty poor. They don't include like the likes of TikTok, which has exploded in the last year. The yes. problem is a policy is just a document. You then need to take it into active real guidelines, which are around the campus of the school, like little stickers and posters on toilets and things that remind people about what is acceptable and what is the consequence. And then even schools need to bring that in by training parents, doing a parent training session like the ones that we do at schools, like from, say, 6 p.m. in the evening. And they also need to do, like, campaigns or competitions in which kids make, posters themselves. Got to get people actually connected to the issues, which are bullying, sexting, intimidation, you know, those types of things, obsession and so on.
So what are your 6, very briefly, your 6 online safety tips for using devices?
I think, look, the most important thing before I really get into those very quickly is I think the most important thing that I want to say to parents and to schools is they've got to get a lot closer to the issue. So mainly what we've got to do is we've got to get children to go in. We've got to get parents and teachers and the students to share the responsibility about how devices are set up. What we need to do is we need to go into the privacy settings of the phone. You click settings, then you click privacy, and actually it's fairly self-explanatory to be able to shut those individual settings down. So maybe your location settings are on. Mm. Maybe there's a connection that anybody can see your photos or where those photos were taken and so on. So you just go into settings and then into privacy. That's not enough. That's just on the device. Then you need to go into each individual app and you need to look at the security and privacy settings of that app. So if your child is on TikTok, click the 3 dots in the corner, which will take you into a section called security and privacy. And then you will see how open they are. Like, are their accounts public or are they private? If they're public, the doors and windows of their digital house are wide open and people can come in and contact them and talk to them inside their digital house, that type of thing.
Absolutely. And I think we need to, if you want to listen to the podcast, you can also go through to our website and listen again. Dean McCoubrey, thank you very much for your time. Dean McCoubrey is the founder of My Social Life.